Sketches for the Waldstein Sonata appear towards the end of the book containing Beethoven's massive work on the Eroica Symphony. But first, a series of keyboard exercises seems to prepare the ground for the C major brilliance of the sonata. That last one, however, seems to have a more direct relationship with the finale of the Appassionata. But first, the Waldstein, and sketches for its first subject, appearing first in its semiquaver version. And a sketch for its main second subject, also in C major. This could hardly have been its intended key in the exposition, and sketches on the previous page show, as in the sonata, an unusual orientation towards E major or minor. This proved to be Beethoven's unorthodox second group key, and the theme I played just now in sketch first appears in E major in the sonata. Coda of this first movement, Beethoven seems loath to part with this theme. It's tempting to soften the abruptness of those pauses by slowing up into them. And yet it's only on the third phrase that Beethoven indicated the ritardando. The sketches suggest, however, that the element of surprise is at the root of the passage. He wrote a series of full closes. And he then apparently hit upon the idea of suddenly withholding the keynote. But the Waldstein sketches also reveal the checkered history of its slow movement. An andante in E major is noted down. This is then worked on at greater length in F major. But at this time, there's a note of a fairly brilliant rondo in 3/8. Notice, however, the bass note at the start. This was to become such an important feature of the eventual rondo, a spacious allegretto moderato in 2/4 time. Various versions of this theme were sketched. The final form with the bass C and two treble Gs was to dominate the movement. And also its prestissimo ending. And this appears in this way in the sketches. But in this new context, the original middle movement had to go. It became a separate piece known as the Andante Favori. Something more mysterious, harmonically, was needed to offset the brilliant first movement of the Waldstein and the largely diatonic and leisurely unfolding of the finale. And so the Introduzione came into being with its strangely unsettled tonality. Whereas the Waldstein Sonata glories in the major key for the most part, the Appassionata, opus 57, certainly exploits the storm and stress of the minor. This recurrence of a triplet rhythm caused a change of mind over notation. The early sketches for this first movement are in common time. This simpler notation was carried through to the second subject in this form. The gradual insistence of triplets, including the ominous four-note figure in the bass, undoubtedly led to the change to 12/8 time. The trill in the first theme acquired a more decided personality. But how then should the small notes in the main subjects be notated? In this way? Or in this? In spite of the more complex notation, Beethoven chose the latter. And yet, to return to the sketches, it seems that he contemplated a different motive in the development section. And this seems a striking foretaste of the much later Grosse Fuge. But the Appassionata seem to bypass this idea, and the sketches for the remaining movements relate clearly to the work as we know it. The Andante is a set of variations on this theme. In the sonata, the variations proceed by progressive subdivision, quaver movement, semiquavers, and demi-semiquavers. Then, returning to the original, a thumbnail sketch outlines this principle. For the finale, a moto perpetuo idea was sketched as follows. And on the same page of the sketchbook came the idea of interrupting the slow movement. But this link between slow movement and finale, typical of Beethoven's middle period works, I'll play as it comes in the sonata. Thank you. After the grand scale of the Appassionata and Waldstein sonatas, we find Beethoven writing fewer and, for a time, more intimate works, sonatas like Opus 78 and Opus 90. Opus 81a in E-flat was, however, partly in the grand manner, and surprisingly for Beethoven, it had programmatic subtitles, Farewell, Absence, and Return. The middle movement, Absence, called for the pathos of the minor key. That sketch established the mood, although the material changed. Here are two brief examples from the two-movement sonata in E minor, opus 90, showing how an apparently slight change can give an idea distinction. In the first movement, a straightforward series of sequences. These were modified and enlivened by dynamic contrast. In the rondo of Opus 90, a sketch in short broken phrases, and these were bound together into a long, flowing melodic line. With the Opus 101 sonata, we approach the world of late Beethoven. Its second, Alla Marcia movement, develops from a sharply rhythmic but very basic idea. On the line above that sketch, elaboration begins. Various continuations are written down. But in the end, the persistence of the dotted rhythm makes the movement. The finale of Opus 101, a sketch marked Last Presto, establishes a general character. And on the next page of the sketchbook, there's the gist of a contrapuntal treatment. Pointing towards the theme in the sonata. And these contrapuntal leanings were to be pursued further in a long and cumulative fugal development. Beethoven's growing absorption in fugal writing led to the colossal fugue at the end of the Hammerklavier Sonata, Opus 106. But first, the opening of Opus 106. This idea appears in various forms in the sketches. One offshoot was a sketch for a choral greeting to the Archduke Rudolf, to whom the sonata was dedicated, with the words, Vivat Rudolphus. And also in a shorter form. In fact, one wonders whether those words had a hand in the shape of the eventual opening of Opus 106, Vivat, Vivat Rudolphus. The lyrical answer to that challenging opening phrase might be derived in this way from the sketches. And now the fugue subject of the finale. Among the sketches, there's one subject of an unfamiliar character, suggesting a slow tempo and an introductory nature. The ultimate fugue subject, like so many of Beethoven's themes, emerged from a series of rhythmic experiments. Of Opus 106. And now a few points about the last three sonatas of all, Opus 109, 10, and 11. The variation theme of Opus 109 as it stands. And an earlier continuation. Enhanced with an added ornament. And then with a penciled alteration to the fifth bar of the theme. A sketch for the final variation of trills. Unlike the sonata, which pursues the idea of the developing trill, the sketch expands it melodically. Next, Opus 110. The relationship between the contours of this opening and the fugue of the third movement has often been remarked. And this subject we find, in fact, noted down before sketches for the intervening events, together with its inversion, at that time presumably thought of in the same key. Beethoven's fugal leanings continued, and the fugues of the late quartets, Opus 131 and the Grosse Fuge, had yet to come. But meanwhile, the first movement of Opus 111, the last piano sonata, treated its first subject in a fugal manner. The theme had actually appeared 20 years before among sketches for the Opus 30 violin and piano sonatas. And it reappears in the Opus 111 sketches with, on the surface, some rather academic treatment. This developed into the powerful two-part writing in the sonata. Fugal writing was one feature of Beethoven's late period, so was variation form. And this last sonata of all, Opus 111, ends with an arietta and variations, generally considered sublime in its serenity and simplicity. In the earlier sketches, however, its vital motive does not appear. There's a more generalized harmonic outline. Thank you. Another sketch begins to clarify the melodic line. It was while working on these last sonatas that Beethoven received the famous invitation to contribute a single variation on a waltz by Diabelli to a composite work. He eventually wrote 33, his greatest set of variations, but Diabelli's waltz, like Beethoven's Arietta, was in C major, and it began as follows. Notice the falling intervals of a fourth and a fifth, and compare the opening of the Arietta of Opus 111. Is it possible, then, that Beethoven's work on the Diabelli project enhanced his own farewell to the piano sonata?